This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. Keyetta Mangum was tired of seeing people who live in rural areas portrayed in the media as goofy, backwards, and uneducated, so she decided to present what, in her view, is a much more realistic representation. Black Country is a documentary that follows three African Americans from rural parts of North Carolina who highlight the intersection between their country lifestyle and entrepreneurship.
I'm Harrison Todd, and I'm a cowboy.
Some people would call me an alleged bootlegger.
I'm a country boy. You know, black country is what I am.
Black country is alive and well.
Keyetta Mangum, producer and director of Black Country Documentary, joins me now. Welcome to The State of Things.
Thank you.
Tell us more about why this came about.
Oh, wow. I've been working on it for about 3 years now. A lot of people that you're going to see tomorrow night are my family and friends. And, you know, I grew up in the country. I'm a country girl, and I love everything about the country. I'm always refreshed when I go back. I love the values. I love the morals. I love what I see happening as far as the people that are taking their roots and doing different things in the industries with it. And I just wanted an opportunity to kind of show everybody what's going on.
What's your sense of the portrayal up until now, your sense of how we thought about the country?
Yeah, I think that a lot of times when you think of country people, period, regardless of the race, a lot of times they are displayed as the goofy ones or the silly ones or the brunt of the joke, you know, uneducated, no teeth, you know, overalls. But I wanted to, you know, make sure I showed the real example of country. Again, regardless of the race, because when it comes to country, you know, you see that faith, values, hard work is something that is shared throughout all races. But I had the opportunity to show you guys from the black perspective, which has never really been seen before. When you think of cowboys, you don't think of black cowboys. When you think of cowgirls, you don't think of black cowgirls. When you think of moonshiners, you don't think of a female. And you don't think of a black female in high heels. So, you know.
Now that you're there, tell us more about Naomi.
Oh,
the black
she's
the moonshiner in heels.
She is awesome. Wicked CEO. Her Southern Wicked Lemonade blend is something that she created in her kitchen. You know, her grandfather found out who was a sharecropper. She found out later on that he also had, you know, did a little moonshining on back in Wilson County in North Carolina. And but she had gotten sick. You know, she was sick and she was looking for a healthy option for social drinkers. And she had went to school at UNC, had a chemistry background, had marketing background, and she just began to play with things. And I got an opportunity to kind of taste and experience the beginning when it was in the mason jar before she got the really nice bottle. And it was good. And it would, you know, moonshine in itself, sometimes based on who may make it, it could hit you a different type of way. Mm-hmm. Naomi was able to take that moonshine and turn it into like a little cocktail where it could still give anybody that hit, but it tastes good, you know. So a lot of her stuff has been kind of a hit up in D.C. at some really nice restaurants, and they mix it in cocktails, and they drink in backwoods moonshine, and they're just like, oh, wow, I didn't, you know anything about
it. Here's Naomi talking about it in your documentary.
I got sick a couple of years ago and found that there was not any organic or all-natural options for alcohol. My uncle started telling me these stories about my grandfather and how this shining was in my genes.
That's a clip from the new documentary, Black Country. I'm talking to director and producer Keyetta Mangum now. You can see Black Country on Fox 50 tomorrow night, 7:30, and we have details at our website, stateofthings.org. So how'd you find out about Naomi?
Oh, we met through a mutual friend. Actually, our kids knew each other for a long time. And they didn't even realize it because Naomi, we both lived, at that time, was living in North Raleigh. Kids were in school together. And somehow the, you know, our parents unite. Mm-hmm. And so my friend had, you know, was hanging out with her. And one day we all got together and she was sharing the moonshine. And we just kind of built a friendship after that. You know, she's a really nice person, very down to earth. And for some reason, when I can tell when someone's from the country or was raised with country values. So as soon as I recognize that, I'm drawn to it. And
was it you saw? What did you see?
I just saw her integrity. You know, I saw she was a woman of her word. You know, I saw she was a hard worker. And I saw she was a person of faith. you know, and that was very impressive to me. And
the other thing that comes through in this, all of that, and entrepreneurship, people mm-hmm. who can figure out how to make a living.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And she's been able to do that, you know, with her, as well as the Cowboys. You know, a lot of them have taken their upbringing and who were raised on a farm in a tobacco program. And when, you know, we all know what happened to some of the black mm-hmm. farmers. And so they began to, what is it? Find another alternative. Yeah. And so now they have racehorses, a race team. They are also, you know, housing horses, have farmland. I mean, they are constantly figuring out a way to branch out and make money and then, you know, and continue with their lifestyle yeah. While being entrepreneurs in it. So it's been very fascinating
that,
to watch.
That brings us to Harrison, doesn't it? Let's listen.
Yes.
I wasn't raised as a cowboy. I want to say I was raised as a country boy. During the time where tobacco was bought out and different farmers went bankrupt, we decided to get rid of the tobacco program and we went into horses and cows.
That's a clip from the new documentary Black Country. I'm talking to director and producer Kieta Mangum now, and you can see Black Country on Fox 50 tomorrow night at 7:30. And, of course, if you missed that, check out our website, stateofthings.org. Tell us more about Harrison.
Wow. Now, Harrison is my cousin. Him and his brother Darius, you will see them a lot throughout this, you know, this series. He was, as he said, you know, raised on a farm. We was all raised, you know, tobacco field. I had pigs where I was at. They began to kind of gravitate. And the more you follow him, you hear the actual backstory in detail of how they got their first horse. But they was kind of, you know, got into the horse realm, you know, started buying cattle, horses. And so our cousin, which their uncle, introduced them to Gooch. Gooch is another person that you would meet. Because Gooch also had a farm, but Gooch was really into the horses. He'd been into horses for decades. And so he had a Gooch took them under their wing, taught them the ins and outs of the horses. They learned how to break horses, break meaning a wild horse, kind of break them and tame wow. them. And, you know, and then he's just kind of been mentoring them from all these years, from when they was like, they ranged from 10 to 14 at that time. All my cousins and their friends. And so he mentored them, poured into them, and now they're in their 20s and they own in farmland and they are doing mentoring. And you'll meet some of the kids that they're not kids, I'm sorry, they're not kids, young men that they are mentoring as well. So it's been a cycle, an ongoing cycle, and it's been wonderful to watch.
Well, when we talk about this entrepreneurship too, the idea that, you know, tobacco might collapse and now what do we do? And if you're unemployed, maybe working in the city, that your options are limited. And I don't know that I would go right to horses. You know, it's not something that I would be terrified of dealing with livestock. But the idea of growing up in the country, you've probably seen a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. So if horses becomes an option, I guess that's something that you would seriously entertain.
Yes. And one of the things that you're going to see throughout the series is their relationship with the horses is just going to be amazing. They are in love with these horses. They take care of the horses. The horses have personalities. Like, I follow this one horse. And again, you only get like a little small, you know, 30 minutes of it. But as you continue to follow us, I mean, you will get to know some of these race horses and just fall in love with them. They are so amazing. And so, yes, at first you think, oh, my God, this is a wild animal. And, you know, and they are special, really special animals. But they are also, you know, very loving and listen. And some of them say, you know, they're closer to you know, man than dogs. Not no offense to all the dog lovers, but I mean,
the dogs are just cheaper to feed, frankly.
Right, true.
I mean, that's the idea, I think that's half of the reason. But you're right. There's a great deal of emotional intelligence and sharing that goes on that, you know, we've certainly heard about and get to see in your documentary. The other part of this too that is clear is that a lot of not only country values but this knowledge mm-hmm. is still there with people like Gooch who can actually, you know, transmit this knowledge. It's not all gone, and mm-hmm. it comes in handy when you have to make a change, like many people in rural areas had to do.
Correct, it does. And like I said, the good thing about them is they are always community based. So they're always looking for opportunities to either mentor someone, tell someone about it, show them how to do it. Like, they're not selfish and try to hold stuff in. It's all about helping everybody, you know, grow their business, grow their farm, you know, learn more about the horses. Gooch's daughter, Caitlin, you get to meet her. She's really sweet. You know, she's all in. She created these 4-H, the 4-H club, and sell up and read so she can go into the public libraries and bring 4-H clubs to their farm and teach the young kids about the horses and country and farm life. And I document her hatching eggs. You know, they brought chickens in, you know, so they're all about giving back to the community and educating and making other people aware of what's going on and seeing other alternatives to career paths and, you know, lifestyles versus what we are always seeing in the media now.
Right. Well, now, it is one thing to be willing to transmit this knowledge and to share it, but how many people in the community, really children, young people, want to stay there, want to do this kind of thing?
They ain't had a chance to see how much fun it is or how much money you can make off of it, you know? A lot of times that's why one of the things I have up there when I'm describing it, you know, is changing, you know, it destroys the way you think, stereotypes. It's demolishing those because you think there's no real money in it. But, you know, it's a lot of money in it, you know, and there's other opportunities of you never know, you may want to be a vet. There are a lot of the young kids who have, you know, decided they don't want to go to school and become veterinarians. And then you have some who's like, okay, no, I want to go to the racetrack and become a stable manager. Like, there's so many opportunities out there that people don't even realize are there, you know, for young people.
And ways to maintain the land so that it doesn't get developed and chase people off, which is what we see in cities when they develop, right?
Exactly.
Are you so? And what is the sense when you went into the communities that you went to and you began shooting this film and talking about what you're doing? Did they have the same sense you did, the sense that, you know, the media isn't being fair to us?
I would say yes. Yeah. They're all excited about the opportunity to show this lifestyle and show what's going on. And even in the community, there are some, and you hear it, they talk about it, they don't even realize, even in the community, that you have so much going on with black men and women who ride horses and are, you know, horsemen or cowboys or whatever they want to call themselves. They don't even realize what's going on in the community. Sometimes they get, you know, they could be at a gas station and people looking at them like, who are you trying to be? You know, like, no, I'm just me.
Well, and it's about ownership, too. I mean, you know, if you come to the city, you work for somebody, but you don't own the job and you certainly don't get the equity in that company that you've worked for 30 years. Right. That's kind of interesting to think about owning your own work. And yet we talk about country values, country lifestyle, and we imagine something that doesn't change much over time, but there have to have been changes. How have things changed?
As far as?
Lifestyle, life in the community where you grew up and the community that you go back and visit now?
Well, of course, you know, you do have less farmland, you know, less land, more houses. But it's still a lot of land out there, a lot to be, you know, bought. You know, I just had a young cousin she's 22 years old, just purchased her some land out there in the Bun Pilot area, you know, going to put her horses and stuff out there. So it's still a lot of stuff out there. But I think it's changed, but it haven't. There hasn't been a lot of change. There's still opportunities for people to start farms, to young people to, you know, create a different. I have another relatives that I want to introduce later on who have taken all of this land that no one's really doing anything with and starting to grow hemp, you know, getting into the hemp industry. So there's so many other opportunities out there that's still related to agriculture that you're using today's technology or today's trending things to make money off of.
What about your company now, Black Country Productions? You certainly produced this film. What's next for you? What other kinds of projects are you interested in?
I just want to continue to create content and stories and show it that illuminate, that inspires, that influence, that impact the audiences. You know, if it's a story that's doing any of those things, I'm interested in it. And if it's from the country perspective or you know, I'm really interested in it. New stuff that's out there, you know, and something, again, that's positive, something that is inspiring, that makes you, you know, you know, want to be a part of it or is educating you, you know, good content.
Seems like this is good stuff for a series. I'm sure this is one of your hopes.
Yes, I have a lot of material, I've been shooting for 3 years. Again, this is just the intro to the world, intro to the characters, intro to the lifestyle. But yes, the goal is to keep it going and have you guys just follow them and see all of this fun stuff that's going on.
You are rooted in North Carolina, so you get started on this project. You talk to people you know, and you come up with this wonderful documentary that illuminates this part of country life that we hadn't thought about. Has it opened up vistas for you in other areas, other parts of the country? I mean, think about the ways it must be different. In some ways, very much the same, and in some ways, very different if you go from one part of the country to another.
Correct. And the thing I like about the Saddle Club Association that we're with in this area is up in, it's called East Coast Saddle Club, you know, Trail Riders Association that the Cowboys are associated with. So it's, they range from, you know, Georgia all the way to like Maryland, D.C. area. And then there are cowboys and farmers and cowgirls and moonshiners all across the U.S. And they're reaching out to us on our social media platforms letting us know, hey, we're here, we're doing it. And we know that they just haven't had the opportunity to be seen either. So that's another, that's why I'm thankful for Capital Broadcasting, allowing, you know, us to kind of create this platform and hopefully it'll be an ongoing thing where we can travel more and you can see how they're doing it over there in Louisiana or how they're doing it in Houston, you know, and all the way in central L.A. as well, you know.
Farming and cowboys in central L.A. This I got to see. Also, and a new song. You have an original song.
We do. That got created. Created by my daughter and a good friend of mine. He's a country boy. He produced it. My daughter wrote the lyrics to it based on just her heart, her upbringing, and the stories that she's listen to, because of course I've been working on this for 3 years now, so they hear everything in my edit room. And so, you know, she wrote this soulful Black Country original song that just kind of highlights what Black Country is.
Kieta Mangum is director and producer of Black Country. You can see Black Country on Fox 50 tomorrow night, 7:30. Details at our website, stateofthings.org. Kieta, thanks so much. Good to talk with you.
Thank you for having me on.
Next movies on the radio, we want to know what your favorite film about nature and the environment has all about. What's your favorite one? You can decide what we mean by that. Just send us an email at sot@wnc.org or hashtag SOTMovie to be on the next Movies on the Radio, Nature and the Environment. Our show is produced by Anita Rao, Laura Pelliser, Dana Terry, and Amanda Magnus. Robin Copley's our technical director, Jenny Lawson on the board today. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.